Anyway, Acts chapter 27 is where we are. 2 weeks ago, we began our journey with the Apostle Paul on his way to Rome. And we saw that despite the fact that he was going exactly where God wanted him to go, it certainly wasn't smooth sailing, literally. And we saw that the winds that they came up against were, at the beginning, contrary winds. But that didn't stay like that, because then the winds became hindering winds. And we saw how this frustrated the voyage and no doubt frustrated the Apostle Paul and all those on the ship as well. And we found how these are very similar to what happens with us in various ways. You know, we have winds in our life, we have storms, and they are contrary times, and then also they become hindering winds, hindering us in various ways. Sometimes they slow us down. Paul said there in verse 7, we sailed slowly for many days. They were slowed down on this trip, heading to where God wanted them to go. Paul was heading to Rome to preach the gospel. Now it felt like he may not even get there. It was going so slow. And we saw how that often happens with us, with the various storms in our life that we go through. We know what God wants us to be doing. We think we have things set out, and then storms come, things happen, and we can't do those things that we wanted to do, and it feels like everything's slowing us down. Then also we saw how the hindering winds made Paul change his plans. It says there, the wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete over against Salmone. And so instead of sticking to their original plan of following the coastline around Asia Minor to Europe, the winds caused them to change their plans. And if you remember the map, they went down instead of going up around and so on. And we saw how the contrary winds and winds that blow in our life often make us change our plans as well. We can have our life set out. We can have our family set out or our ministry set out. And we know exactly where we're going, and then someone comes along or something happens, and then all of these things are blown out of the water, and we have to change our plans in so many ways. Satan attacks, things happen, and often that is the result. And we saw how often these hindering winds can then become discouraging winds. They were barely moving, and they were hardly getting where they were, and it would have been very frustrating for them. And often that's the same with us also. We know what the Lord wants us to be doing. We know the direction we want to go, but we're not getting there. We seem to be going through and doing the right thing over and over and over again. Never seem to be getting anywhere. And we can get very discouraged. And I said last time that this is where the danger often lies. Because this is the time when the winds of life can become very deceitful and trick us into making some very foolish decisions, as it did with these men on this ship. They made some very foolish decisions once those winds started to hinder them and slow them down and make them change course and discourage them. And as I said last time, that often can happen with us when things are going slow, when we have to change our plans, when we get discouraged. We can so easily make decisions that aren't wise, and they can often cause us greater trouble than the winds that we were going up against. And having said that, we find that when we get to verse 9 of chapter 27 of Acts, we pick up this journey with the Apostle Paul. And we're going to be looking at, first of all, verses 9 to 12. Let me read that to you. It says, now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous because the fast was now already past, that gives us the time of the year, I think that's around September, October, Paul admonished them and said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenix and there to winter, which is a haven of Crete and lieth toward the southwest and northwest. And having said that, let's come before the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the night. And Lord, as we stop and consider this voyage of the Apostle Paul, and we take the principles for our own life, that Lord, you will use this to cement your ways in our life, encourage us to trust you regardless. And Father, we ask that you would minister to our souls. We do pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We see in this reading that the centurion made a very unwise decision. The Apostle Paul had received a good word, I believe, from the Lord in verse 10, where he says unto them, "Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives." We can't be 100% sure that this was a message from God, but we certainly do know that Paul was a man who God spoke to and who God led. If anyone knew the will of God, it was going to be Paul on that ship. And he had understood the ways of God, he understood the mind of God, and if Paul was saying something, they would be wise to listen to this man of God. Paul knew something that they didn't. And they were given some very wise advice from him. But it says there in verse 11, having received this instruction from Paul, it says, "Nevertheless, the centurion..." Paul says, "I think you should be doing this," but the centurion nevertheless did something different. And the centurion had other ideas, and he based his decision on three very foolish reasons. Three very foolish reasons that we need to be very careful that we don't base decisions on when we are in the midst of storms as well. Because as we'll see, they are very foolish decisions. But sadly, so often when we're in the midst of storms, we can be very tempted to make the same decisions as well, based on these three things. We're going to look at these as we go through this passage. First thing I want you to notice, how the centurion based the decision to continue to sail on, because he trusted in the professionalism of the sailors rather than the word from God's man. They had a word from God, I believe, but the sailors had other ideas. As we read there in the passage, it says, "Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul." And so he listened to the sailors. Now, I'm guessing the sailors said something of like this: this storm's nothing. I've seen storms like this before. It's going to be fine. And so the centurion based his decision, one of the reasons was, on the advice and the professionalism of these sailors, thinking that they knew better than God's man. And it's true, this was the sailors' business. But we know from the disciples in Christ's day that these professional fishermen, despite how well-versed they may be in the area of fishing, the Lord Jesus still knew how to fish a lot better than them. And when it came to sailing, if you're going to listen to someone, you should be listening to God's man who can get a word from God himself. And despite how learned and experienced these sailors may have been, their wisdom did not surpass God's word. And friends, that's one of the things we need to take note of when we are in storms, and that is storms of life will blow, and when they blow, you can be sure that you will get a lot of advice from a lot of people on how you should be tackling your storm. Lots of advice. You know, if this church doesn't grow the way some people think it should, for one reason or another, we can be very sure that there are going to be some people happy to come along and give us some advice on how we can make ourselves more appealing and more sellable, and so that more people will start coming here. And sadly, there have been too many churches that have gone down that road where things haven't been growing. Maybe the congregation is getting smaller, and so someone takes on the advice from the professionals of how to market a church, and they take on the way the world does things so they can grow their business, and they take on that professional idea of growing the church as though it's some market that needs to be grown. And then they take on the worldly ways of doing things, and that's when disaster comes. If we have to venture away from the Word of God on how to run a church, we're in trouble. But it will come, I'm sure, at some stage. You know, there are a lot of books on how to raise children. Some are by godless people, and some are even from Christians. And sadly, for a lot of the Christian books even, they can take very obscure Old Testament verses and they can stretch it out as far as they possibly can to bring it to the point of it saying what they want to be said about raising children, and then you get yourself in a lot of trouble. This is where we go when it comes to raising our children, not the books. You know, there are a lot of psychologists and psychiatrists, professional men and women who are well trained in modern philosophy. And they will be very happy to tell you how you can get through the storms of your life as well. And although we're not meant to put our head in the sand and think everything out there is bad and evil, we must go to God's Word and base our decisions squarely on God's Word and refuse to accept anything that may be different to God's Word. Otherwise, we will get ourselves in trouble. And so be sure when you're in a storm, some people are going to come along with some worldly advice. And they may be professionals, but we need to go to God's Word. The second thing we see here is the centurion based his decision on comfort rather than truth. In verse 12 it says, "And because the haven was not commodious to winter in." They were at the fair haven, as we saw, as they went down to Crete. And as far as I can tell, the fair havens was just a pokey little place. It wasn't a very nice place to stay, especially if you had to stay there all winter. Especially when you knew that Phoenix, that was just a little sail down to the other end of the island, was there, and it had a lot of bars and it had a lot of night spots as well, places that sailors quite enjoy going to. It's a very tempting when you know that just down the other end of the island is Phoenix, and if they have to stay throughout the whole winter somewhere, they would rather stay down there rather than this little pokey place of Fair Havens. And so they made a decision based upon comfort rather than God's truth from God's man, which is another dangerous thing. And far too often we make decisions when we're in the middle of a storm based on what we think would be more comfortable for us rather than what God's Word says for us. And that is particularly tempting when you're in the middle of a storm. Because when you're in the middle of the storm, generally things aren't very comfortable. It's scary. It's not pleasant what you're going through. And if there is the temptation of something a lot nicer, well, then it's going to be very hard to resist. Maybe things are tough at work. Troubles at work. It's hard. You don't get paid much. You're having troubles at church, and your friends are letting you down, and life is just difficult. And then a job offer comes along, pays a lot, a very easy job, but it's miles away from any decent church. Miles away from a church where you can be fed for your soul and worship and serve the Lord. But the temptation is, in the midst of the storms, to lay aside what God's Word says and what the principles of God's Word says, sometimes to lay aside even common sense in all of this as well, and take what appears to be a far more comfortable and enjoyable option. I've seen it happen with cheap people, and it often is a very big mistake. Too many marriages fall apart because people want the comfortable option. It seems far more appealing and easy to just run away from the problems rather than seeking God's Word and doing what God says. And if you're in the midst of a storm at the moment, regardless of what type of storm it is, you can be sure that the devil will give you lots of options of much more appealing, pleasant things than what God is offering by staying there in the midst of the storm. And you can be sure that your sinful flesh will want those easier paths and could even convince you that it is even God's will. Our flesh is very good at that, despite it being contrary to God's word. And this is when you need to listen to the word of God, listen to maybe even men and women that God brings into your life to tell you what is best, rather than taking that easy option that leads to destruction. Otherwise, you may make the same foolish decision that this centurion made. But we see that there was a third reason why he listened to them. It says, as we read on in this passage, in verse 12, the more part advised to depart thence also. So the rest of the crowd on the ship advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenice, and there to winter, which is a haven of Crete, and lieth toward the southwest and northwest. And so it says there, the more part advised to depart thence also. Everybody on the ship said, yeah, who wants to stay here? How about we just go down to the other end of the island? It's much nicer down there. And even though Paul, this man of God, and some crazy other Christians were saying that this is not a very good idea, the majority thought it was a good idea. And so the centurion listened to the popular vote. Big mistake. And when we make decisions based on what's most popular and what most people think, rather than the Word of God, we can be sure that we're going to get into a lot of strife. Especially since if you search hard enough, you're going to find enough people to tell you what you want. You're going through a storm. This seems like a nice option, even though it's really not what God says and common sense says, I'll guarantee you can find some people to tell you it's a good idea. And that is very unwise if you search out that. Brethren, we need to make our decisions based on God's word and what he has revealed, and do that. As we learnt this morning, trust his word and wait for it, and allow it to change your actions. We don't make decisions based on what other churches are doing, or what other churches say it's right. We don't make decisions for our family and for our life on what the world says or what other people say. The majority of Israel wanted a king, but they got it wrong. The majority of the army, when they were attacking the Amalekites, said to King Saul that they should keep the best of the animals and keep the king alive. That was a big mistake. Led to a lot of sadness for Saul and his family. The majority rejected Christ and cried out to crucify him. And just because the majority says something, that doesn't mean it's right. And when you're in the midst of a storm, your safest option is always to listen to God's word, regardless of what the circumstances are telling you, regardless of what other people may say, regardless of what may seem the easiest option. Because these contrary winds that hinder us and become deceitful can become very destructive, as we'll see in the journey here with the Apostle Paul. Because after they made the wrong decision, based on these three foolish reasons, we read in verse 13 this, and when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close to Crete, it says. They thought, well, let's just go out a little way and we'll just follow the coast. We'll go ever so close to the coast and we'll just follow it down just to Phoenice. Besides, look, the winds are blowing soft now. This might be God's will because things are so nice. But the problem is, when you base your decisions on false foundations, other than the Word of God, all you have to go by are circumstances and your feelings. and that's dangerous. And these men thought that it would be okay. The winds are soft now. It's going to be safe, and I can just go out a little way, and I think it'll be okay. Now, you might ask, well, how can you tell if it's just deceitful winds or God's answering your prayers and this is God making the wind soft for you? How can you tell when it's God's doing this and when it's not, when it comes to the storms of life? Well, you know, there's only one way to know, and that is you base your decisions wholly on the Word of God. That is the only way you can tell. Otherwise, other foundations are going to fail you and get you confused. You know, James said a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And if you try and juggle your feelings about this situation, and then you try and juggle God's word, and then you try and juggle circumstances that are happening as well, and try and put them all together to try and find what's the best, you're going to be tossed every which way in life. Because sometimes circumstances are going to feel so wrong when God says, no, that is the way you should be going. And you know, I even find that when I have to counsel people, when they come to me for counsel, my brain, my human fleshly way says, this seems like the best option. But I know God's word says, this is the best option. And I have to even fight against my own flesh when it's not me trying to seek the easy path. But I have to fight against my flesh to say, this is what God says, and so this is the best way. And convince myself, because sometimes the circumstances are just pointing a completely different way to God's way. We must not base our decisions on circumstances and feelings. It must always be on God's word. Sometimes things are going to feel so right, but God says it's wrong. And you must always go back to God's word. If you allow circumstances or the strength of how hard the wind is blowing or the calmness of the wind to determine if this is God's will or not, you're going to get yourself very confused. You find God's promises in His word and you cling to them. That's the only thing that is sure. But foolishly, these men loosed from the shore, despite what God's man told them. And it wasn't long before these deceitful winds became overpowering winds, because it says there in verse 14, but not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroculan. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. You see, usually destruction comes very quickly once you fall into Satan's trap. When you cast your anchor of your soul, the Lord Jesus, away, and you start to drift away from His word, you're going to get yourself into a lot of trouble. And you may convince yourself that you're only going to drift a little way from God, intending to stay quite close to the shore, so to speak, like these sailors. But when you cast out away from God's word, you're exactly where your enemy wants you to be. And you might think, I'm just going to drift a little bit in my own ways and see if I know better than God, but I tell you, that is where Satan wants you to be. I can see my Bible beside my bed. I can read it at any time, but I'm just going to give it a rest for a while and try these other things. That's dangerous. I'm just going to skip church a little bit for a while and pursue these other things. You're exactly where Satan wants you to be. I just want to have a little bit of adventure, a little bit of a thrill. I just want to try these things out and then I'll come back. That's what a lot of young people try. You hear them say, I'm just going to try it for a little while and then I will come back. And when you hear that, you just know they're right where Satan wants. And when a Christian starts to think like this and live like this, well, then the devil has them exactly where he wants them to be, and that's when the floodgates of hell are opened. And this wind, Euroculan, comes out of nowhere and takes hold of them and swells up and takes them to places where they just never intended to go in the beginning. They were just going to go a little bit away from the island of Crete, sail down the shore, and then this great wind came up and took them miles away to a place they never wanted to go. And it says there in verse 15, "And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive." You know, they were caught. You know, no matter what they tried, no matter what sailors' tricks they had up their sleeve, and they would have had plenty of tricks to get themselves out of these positions and places, whatever they had, whatever tricks they knew and they tried, nothing worked. They were not able to bear up into the wind, and they were caught. And you know, in the Christian life, we have little tricks in order to get by, don't we? You know, even though our heart isn't right, even though we go through those times of coldness in the Christian life, we know what to say, don't we? We know how to smile. Everything's great. We know how to give a good impression. We just know how to get through those hard times. We learn the tricks. But friend, there are some times when we go out and we make decisions that are foolish, and Satan gets hold of us and he takes us places, and when we're caught like that, those tricks mean nothing after a while. Nothing we can do can get ourselves out of it. And that's a terrible place to be. And look at what it says there at the very end of that verse, "And we let her drive." Do you understand what that means? It means that the officer stepped back from the helm. There was nothing he could do, and he just let the ship go. They were at the mercy of the storm. That's a scary place for anyone to be, and I'm sure it would be a scary place for any sailor. And they were totally out of control. Very similar to what Paul said in Ephesians when he says, "A person who is tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine." And you know, there are lots of winds out there. There are the charismatic winds. There are the serve yourself winds. There are the pleasure first winds. There are lots of winds. All types of winds today. And unless we know the Word of God, and unless we are firmly anchored in the Word of God, we will be tossed to and fro. And when a storm comes up, if we don't really know what God wants us to do in that situation, we will quite easily be caught up with false help and taken to places we never really wanted to go. And that's what happened to these men. There was nothing else that they could do. And that ship is like a lot of lives today. Totally out of control. Controlled by something other than the Spirit of God. And you know, sadly, there are a lot of people in churches today. There are a lot of pastors. There's a lot of deacons. There are a lot of youth workers. A lot of Sunday school teachers. A lot of men and women in Bible-believing churches who are heading into winds this very moment. I dare say all of us are in a wind, or we're going to head into a wind soon. And for many, these may just be contrary winds at the moment. For others, they may be hindering winds and they're slowing people down. Good men and women of God, slowing them down, making them change their plans, getting them frustrated. And this is where the danger lies. Because when a person is in circumstances like that, that's when decisions can be made that are based on wrong reasons, for selfish reasons, pleasurable reasons, whatever it may be. And sadly, there will be many good men and women that gets themselves caught into some storms, and their life is going to be taken from them, and they're just going to be swept away. swept away because being at the mercy of a sin that has tied them up. Swept away and at the mercy of some trouble that they find themselves, or some feelings of guilt and sorrow, or some feelings of revenge and bitterness, but swept away and at the mercy of these things. And that's a terrible state to be in. And you know, if you find yourself there, now or in the future, can you remember back to last time when we looked at what God wants to use storms for? Remember in Psalm how he said the man that goes down to the sea and they see the waves go up and they're tossed to and fro and they come to the end of themselves, they're at their wits' end and they're just blown away by this storm and they realize there's nothing they can do. What does God want these storms to bring in a person's life? He wants to bring them to the point where they cry out to him for help and mercy. And if you're in a storm like that, or you find yourself in a storm like that and you're just carried away, even if it's through foolish decisions that you have made, God is your only answer. He wants you to come to him and seek his help and strength. There are no other answers than that. The little tricks are gone. We can't rely on them. We can only rely on the power of God Almighty himself. And that's what these men had to do in this storm if they wanted to get through it. And next Sunday night we're going to look at the God's survival plan for when you are in a storm and how to get out of it. But let me end on this note. And it's the same note. Don't close your Bibles or I'll keep going. That's the rule. I'm good enough to make more things up now. I want you to listen to this rather than concentrating if your Bible's neatly zipped. This is what we must learn. And that is, when we're in the middle of a storm and we're getting blown to and fro, we need to make sure that we don't rush decisions based on what may be most comfortable for the time, or what others are saying, or what the professionals may say. We need to take the warning of last time that in the midst of these storms, you don't compound this mistake or these storms by making wrong decisions, but go to the Lord and seek his counsel. If you're not sure, go to someone that might show you what God's word says. I would encourage you in the midst of the storm, regardless if you think what God says or not, it's wise to go to someone who you know have made wise decisions in their life and seek and clarify and make sure this is what God's saying. So you're not deceived by your own sinful, deceitful heart. Because the soul of a man and the love that God has for you is too precious to make a mistake based on foolish decisions and brings the ruin of your soul. And I trust that all of us, when we are faced with a storm, will make those wise decisions. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know we all sin, we all make mistakes, we do things so foolishly, get ourselves in storms, some of our own doing, some not of our own doing. Lord, I pray that we would be wise to seek your ways in these times, not be deceived by them, that Father, our lives may continue to bring glory and majesty and praise to your name. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.